I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
And that's Grayson.
And this is Autism Building the Puzzle.
One piece at a time. Hello, and welcome to Autism Building the Puzzle, One Piece at a Time. I'm Alex, your host, and with me is my co-host, Sean.
Hi, yes, I am here.
Hi.
What's up, babe?
What's up? Good. So, today's episode, we're going to be talking all about communication.
Which, obviously, we've learned a lot about.
Yes.
Since Grayson is nonverbal.
Yes.
And that's actually one of the ways we really got to our diagnosis point was that the pediatrician had, you know, asked about language and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up getting a language evaluation that led to
autism.
Yeah, led to a
pretty much
a developmental pediatrician evaluation, and that's kind of history.
Yep.
So we want to talk about communication just because it's such a vital part of life. And you know, when you're talking about ABA therapy and things like that, communication is like some of the first skills you start teaching. So
yes,
demanding, meaning requesting items non-verbally.
Yeah, and communication is super important because of course you want to be able to tell people your wants and needs and be able to, you know, get that across to people. So.
Yeah, I think we take it for granted.
Absolutely.
You know, as neurotypical adults, you know, we have conversations with people all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
They, can't imagine.
Some people say, you know, my wife or my husband isn't that great a communicator, but, you know, at least they can speak.
This is true.
Like some of our children with autism that ability. So. No. You know, we kind of take it for granted sometimes, and, you know, something just as simple as, you know, that's bothering me, can, you know, it's really hard for them to communicate. And I mean, can you imagine not being able to say, hey, like,
right,
that noise is so loud, I can't handle it, you know what I mean?
Right, and having to deal with that.
So, and that's, the lack of communication is what causes a lot of the, you know, negative behaviors.
Right.
Meltdowns, temper tantrums, and
right,
headbanging, challenging behaviors, all that stuff. So,
and you know, think about it from the beginning. The way a child communicates is crying. So they cry when they're hungry. They cry when they need to be changed. So that's them communicating, correct? Even though they're not speaking, they are communicating to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, as the child starts getting into the toddler age, yes, they might cry of certain things, but they're, you know, their wants and needs are going to change and they're not going to be able to voice that. So eventually, yes, being verbal is very, very important, but you have to come up at that point then with other ways. And there are other ways to communicate for children on the spectrum. There are, you know, PECs, there's AAC device when, you know, they're ready for that. So I would say the beginning thing is PECs and picture exchange system and, you know, kind of starting there. But there are some forms of communication. It just evolves, and as the child gets older, that changes. So, because, you know, they're not going to cry every single second. It's just different.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as they get older and their needs change, too, like, the things they need are much more vast than when they're a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're a baby, they cry. What do they need?
Milk, food,
change of diaper,
yep.
Like...
Yeah.
There's not too many things.
There's more to figure out now.
They're sick.
Yeah.
Exactly. As they get older, their needs develop and they have a lot more needs.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them that have sensory processing disorder along with autism, you know, they have problems, you know, with loud noises, some of them sight, taste, smells,
overstimulation,
understimulation, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they're nonverbal or limitedly verbal, they can't communicate all of those different things either.
Exactly.
You know? Especially when you start getting into the world of, like, different emotions and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I have trouble sometimes communicating what my emotions are. So I can only imagine if I didn't have words how I could potentially do that. So, yeah. So it's definitely you know, absolutely crucial to, you know, these kids and their development and their progress in ABA too. The more they learn to communicate, they're going to just start taking off when it comes to, you know, learning and developing other skills and
that's true.
Doing other tasks and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, and there's two sides of communication. So you have receptive language
and expressive.
Why don't you talk about receptive?
So receptive is the understanding of language, which is input. It means the ability to understand and comprehend language heard. So Grayson had no receptive language when he was a baby. He didn't really understand anything we were saying. Some of the symptoms of a receptive language disorder that you could look out for in your children is, like I said, if they're not understanding sentences, if they're not following verbal instructions at all, kind of not paying attention to you. A lot of times children with autism, it's kind of hard to gauge that because a lot of times they are kind of, you know, in their own little world. So it's like, are they not paying attention to me or are they not understanding? So you just kind of have to gauge that along with other clues. There's really no set standard of symptoms that indicates a receptive language disorder. So it varies from child to child. And you have to take into consideration what kind of language skills should your child have for that age group. Another problem with receptive language disorder is echolalia, which is parroting words or phrases. So they're repeating everything. So if you say, you know, hello, Ellie, how are you? They'll say back to you, hello, Ellie, how are you? And they will repeat things that they, you know, hear and see, even commercials. They will recite them and things like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously expressive language is the output. So it's communicating what you want to communicate to someone else. However, you can't really do much expressive in terms of expressive language communication if you don't have receptive. So receptive is where you have to start.
Yes.
Because how do you know what to say if you don't understand what's being said?
Yeah. So. And all behavior is a form of communication. So everyone communicates through behavior. Adults and children are somehow, you know, if they're frustrated, they're telling you that they're angry, things like that. And that is their way of communicating, especially if they're nonverbal. You know, important communication skills are listening. That is one of the most important important aspects of communication. Nonverbal communication, stress management, emotional control, and straight talking. So there's different ways of communicating, listening, especially if they are receptive. If they are receptive and they're nonverbal, you can get a lot further than if they weren't because they're understanding you. So you can say, like, put this in the trash. Yeah, they might not say anything back, but they can follow those commands. Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, like, manding would be requesting items for a young child, and that could be done in a lot of different ways, but it'll start with things like just things that are out of their reach, them, like, kind of somehow finding a way to kind of ask for them, whether that's pointing at them, whether that's, you know, hand leading, you know.
Right.
Gray did a lot of hand leading.
Yes.
And then, you know,
Still does sometimes.
Yeah, he still does sometimes, yeah. You know, but you, pointing's better than hand leading, so you want to try to, you know, push the
work
pointing more.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was younger, he didn't understand pointing for a long time. So,
no.
But once he did, he stepped back a little bit from the hand leading. He still does it.
It
but
took him a little bit over 3 years old before
he does that more.
Learned pointing, and he's a lot better at it now, but he does hand lead more. But he does point more than he used to. So,
yeah.
And, you know, as far as communication, there's a quote that I absolutely love. It's by Peter Drucker, and it says, "The most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't said." So, you know, looking and observing, watching somebody's behavior and trying to get clues in that way.
Yeah.
So.
And that's another challenge, you know. These kids sometimes don't understand social cues, so it's hard
that's
for
hard.
Them to understand that part of communication as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and communication is the essence of human life.
Yeah.
It really is.
So after you move on from manding, you're usually going to introduce things like PECS, which Alex had mentioned is the picture exchange system.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different, like, varieties of that.
Yeah.
You know, the traditional one is more like just a huge, basically a huge binder with small little picture cards, and you pull them out of the different sections and you put them together to communicate what you want and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we used PECS with Grayson kind of more in a limited way. We only used certain items, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the idea of him having to go find a book and
right.
flip through it and find the stuff, he didn't have patience to begin with.
He was too young. So, in my opinion, you shouldn't start off with that. Basic, we had the pictures hanging up on the wall.
Yep.
He knew where to find them, and he knew exactly the pictures of his own items, not stock photos or anything like that.
Yeah.
And he went right over, grabbed the card, and would give it to you. I think that is the best way to start off on PECS. Because they don't understand, like, you have to take I want and put that on the Velcro, and then take the item that you want and put that on the Velcro. It is, it's not a good thing to just start off with off the bat.
Yeah, you have to gradually build up to the full, PECS type program system. So,
mm-hmm. And, you know, if your child has a communication disorder, delay, you want to get them involved in speech therapy as soon as possible. Speech therapy is so important. I mean, communication is the basis for nearly every single thing that happens in our world. If they have a problem in communication, it will impact every aspect of their life. So language and therapy is super important for people who need the skill of it. They can communicate, but ideally, if you can give them speech therapy and try to work with them and get them to somewhat talk, then that's a great start. So.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's why we've taught this. You know, this is second episode on communication. Just the topic of communication in general, and we've had other episodes where we've talked a little bit about communication in different ways or different parts of it, and
mm-hmm.
That's why we talk about it so much, because it's like one of the most important, if not the most important, like. Skill we need to talk about.
Yep.
You know, it has the biggest impact on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, like their progress learning things is going to be so much faster the better they are at communicating. Because in early intervention, Gray struggled a lot because he didn't have the receptive language, which he didn't even know what they were asking him to do sometimes.
Yeah, he had no idea.
Which then caused him frustration because he wants to be
and
able
anxiety.
To do whatever they're trying to ask him to do. So
yeah, and anxiety because he would get nervous because he didn't understand what was being asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then what we're moving on to right now would be like, the last final...
AAC device.
Things, the AAC device. Which is basically like an electronics PECS system for the most part.
Yeah.
You know,
it's on an iPad.
It's got categories. It's on an iPad, tablet, something like that. They click on the category so they can click on like food. And
mm-hmm.
then it has all the types of food under there. They click on the type they want.
Yeah.
It says it, which is great because it can help them learn to talk more or say mm-hmm. things better. The more they hear it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know... Grayson hasn't been using it that long, but it's been amazing because just the little bit he has used it feels like he, like, it just reinforces the fact, oh, he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to say that. Like, not say it, but communicate that.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he wants right now, and he said it.
Yeah. It's great.
You know, because...
It's his voice.
His communication before, like, he would communicate what he wanted, and you were 99% sure... You know, 95% of the time, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of just going off of like your, you know, secondary communication clues, like
mm-hmm.
his body language and his reaction and stuff like that.
Throwing your hand up at something.
And not out of like him actually communicating
mm-hmm.
definitively in some way. So
we've gotten really good at understanding exactly what he needs though.
Yeah, for the most part.
We do really good.
Yeah. Alex is an Asheville guy. Mama knows best. Right? Right, babe? So, yeah, so those are the different programs and, you know, ways you can advance through developing communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never give up.
No.
You know, on developing it. I mean, I just saw a study that said that, contrary to the, you know, old belief, that a lot of autistic individuals, once they hit their mid-20s, their learning process slows down, you know, with moderate to severe autism.
They're so advanced.
Well, there's some studies now that have proven that that's not the case anymore, that they can learn, they can still learn at a very high level.
Yeah.
So.
And if that was the case, honestly, like, look at Grayson right now. Like, he could read by two. Could you imagine what this kid could be at, like, 16? He would be, like, probably where people at, like, 25 are learning things. Do you know what I mean? So, I feel like that's a little different. That's where
it takes... Alex thinks he's going to rival Elon Musk.
I think he could,
like,
be an
Elon. Screw going to the moon. Like, he's like, we're going to, like, you know, the outskirts of the galaxy, dude.
Oh, so gosh.
But
he'd be like, get this dirt out of space. Get this asteroid out of here.
Yeah, they're going to whack him in the head.
It wouldn't hurt him because he headbangs. He'd probably laugh. Kidding.
Well, yeah, I think that's all we have for communication. If you guys have any specific questions about any of the different things we talked about on the episode today, please reach out to us because
yes,
always looking for questions.
Yeah.
We love interacting with you folks. You know, check us out, buildingthepuzzle.com. We're on IG, Facebook.
Building the puzzle.
Group and page. Hashtag.
Our toy store is www.grayson-company.com.
Yeah.
And we hope you guys have a great holiday.
And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
For autism, building the puzzle, one piece at a time. I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
Signing off. Take care, everybody. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys.